I have recently been reading a book which I probably should have read years ago. It was written in 1988, which was when I was quite young. And it's called Disappointment with God. And it was written by the American Christian writer Philip Yancey. And I remember at the time the book's title, Disappointment with God, created a bit of a stir. It was a bit of a provocative title. It seemed wrong for a committed and distinguished Christian writer to put such words into print. It maybe seemed wrong to admit such a feeling. For God is good and provides for all of our needs. We know this and we pray this. We prayed something similar this morning already. And as Christians, we are taught to be grateful to God, and rightly so, for God provides for everything that we need. But to say we are disappointed with God means that we are saying that God has not measured up, God has failed us, God is not who he says he is. In his book, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey tells the story of a young man whom he's just met. This man was called Richard. Richard had become a Christian in his later youth as he entered into college. And after his conversion, he had prayed continually and fervently for his parents and for their troubled marriage. He had prayed for their marriage to be healed. But they had divorced anyway. So Richard's prayers were not answered. So this young man read his Bible and sought God's guidance and help for the decisions that he had to make for his life. But it seemed that each time that he felt that he was doing what God wanted him to do, that decision would backfire on him. And he had other things to face. A job which was promised after college fell through. And his fiancée, with whom he had prayed and dreamed of a future together, who had influenced his Christian life, she dropped him. She broke up with him. And so for this young Christian, it seemed that none of his prayers were answered. For Richard, God never showed up. And so Richard ended up hating God. He did not think that God cared for him. And finally, he decided that he could no longer be sure that God existed. It's a sad story. And Philip Yancey listened to this young man, but he felt how could he answer him? And so he wrote his book, Disappointment with God, as a response to Richard's questions and the questions of many other people that had spoken to him. Disappointment with God, it is provocative. And it's a feeling that we may have, but we may not wish to admit to. But in reality, I believe it is how many people feel, and how Christians may feel too. It may be the reason why people stop coming to church, why they stop believing that there is a God at all, or one who is worth following at least. But I believe that this disappointment which Richard felt and which many of us might feel too, I believe this is rooted in a misguided teaching about God. Perhaps we too have bought into the belief that God is there to answer every prayer with a yes and to bless us with well-being and happiness so long as we follow his laws. But think to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with his plea to God to remove the cup of suffering he was about to face. And he is met with the answer, no. So what of the person who prays and hears only silence? Or the person who feels only pain? To try to answer this, I went to look this morning at the person of Jeremiah and of the reading that we had this morning. For Jeremiah was disappointed with God. Jeremiah was God's prophet, I've been told to children, and he spoke unpalatable truths to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he told them that God hated their evil ways. And this truth-telling meant that he was on his own. And he faced persecution and adversity. And he also had to bear his own physical pain. Life was far from easy for Jeremiah. He is known as the weeping prophet. And in this passage, we have him pouring out his complaint to God. And the crux of his prayer is that he is disappointed with God. He says to God, "Truly you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. I expected to turn up and find water, and there is none. I have turned on the tap. Where is the water? Where are you, God?" Jeremiah essentially is calling God a fraud. And he is saying, "God, you have not measured up to the expectations I had of you. You have failed me. I have served you, and you have not come through for me." This is raw and honest prayer. And how often can we say that we have prayed that honestly? But with God, we can only be honest. And the first step we can take in our disappointment with God is to tell him about it. Because Jeremiah began his prayer. He began it by saying, "O Lord, you know. O Lord, you know." God knows. God already knows. So Jeremiah tells God exactly how he feels. He asks God to remember him. He petitions God. And he asks the question, why? It is a natural question. Why am I suffering? What have I done to deserve this? I have done nothing wrong. Why then do I suffer? This passage then shows us how to talk to God honestly. Jeremiah speaks very candidly with God, and we can do so too. Although Jeremiah does receive a very candid answer to his prayer, but I'll come back to that later. Before that, I'd like to return to our disappointments, and when our prayers go unanswered, when life is not as it should be, when God seems to be absent. In all of this, what we need to remember is that God is not as we imagine. God is not as we imagine. In our gospel reading today, the disciples have to learn that their Messiah is not as they imagined. They have just come from a moment which we heard about last week, the moment when Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. They have understood who Jesus is, but to some extent it's a limited understanding. They didn't truly understand what that meant. Which is why Jesus then goes on to say to them that he, their Messiah, will be persecuted and will die. And Peter will have none of it, none of it. He does not understand, because what Jesus is saying goes against who they believe him to be. He is their Messiah. He is not as they would have him. Saving the world would not be via an army or with swords and a shout of triumph, but through cruel suffering and humiliation and cold and stark death. Now, I suspect that the disciples were left disappointed by this. Certainly, their view of their Messiah was going to have to change. The disciples' worldview was too small. They saw Jesus as the one who would save them from their oppressors. But Jesus had not come to save them from the Romans in their time. Jesus had come to save the world for all time. Is our view of God too small? What is more, Jesus tells us in this passage that it's really not about us at all. It's about God. We need to take our focus off of our own lives and look to God. We need to stop trying to save ourselves, even if we're doing that through prayer, because we can't save ourselves. Rather, what we need to do is to take up our cross and follow the one who is able to save us. We are to take up our cross, whatever that may be for you, and follow him. If we turn back to Jeremiah and see how God answers his complaint, Jeremiah has complained to God, and then comes what God has to say. And God invites Jeremiah to turn back to him. If you turn back, I will take you back. It's God's invitation throughout the ages. Turn back to me. Turn back to me, and I will take you back. For those who have left church or given up on their faith, God says, turn back to me, and I will take you back. And for those who continue to follow, who continue to serve, despite disappointments and difficulties, God says to keep on serving. That's what he says to Jeremiah. That's his answer. God tells Jeremiah to continue doing what he has been doing, to continue being God's mouthpiece. And in all of that, we are to remember that God does not abandon us. God says, I am with you to save you and deliver you. God is with us, even and perhaps especially when it doesn't feel that way. God wants us to have faith, to believe in him despite all the evidence to the contrary. To believe that God knows, that God sees the bigger picture, that God sees what we cannot understand. And to believe that God is with us in all of our troubles and disappointments, loving us and strengthening us. So have faith in God. It's easy to say. Have faith in God. Believe in the one who came to save us. Follow Christ. Take up your cross, the Saviour said, if you would my disciple be. Take up your cross with willing heart and humbly follow after me.